Reading this morning from Paul's epistle to the Colossians in chapter 1. And we'll read from verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I want to take as a text this morning the epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The pursuit of peace is a universal obsession. All over the world, people ask the question, if only I knew where I might find peace. Constitutionally, human beings find it almost impossible to live with conflict. The human mind can't endure unresolved conflicts. And when conflicts arise in the mind but remain unresolved, well, then they get pushed into the subconscious, from which they can sometimes later explode with volcano-like eruptions in very strange and unexpected ways. In our homes, in our marriages, though we might quarrel from time to time, nobody can endure continual conflict. And so if we can't bring ourselves to apologize to the wife or to the husband, well, then we will seek almost any way of compromising to try and appease and to have some sort of peace. We're confronted with all manner of tension and conflict in the world around us today, aren't we? For months we've observed millions of people migrating, seeking peace. And then at an even deeper level than those issues, there are the tensions that we have within ourselves that we can find very hard and difficult to identify. We feel that we're perhaps not at home in the world, or that we're not in tune with nature, and so strained faces and stress conditions and nervous breakdown and even suicide, these are all testament to the fact of human alienation and the absence of peace that people know and experience in life. And of course, all manner of remedies are proposed for that issue and problem. Some people travel and hope to escape those problems through traveling. Others dabble with Eastern mysticism, so that with a Buddha-like smile, they try to find peace through some sort of withdrawal from conflict. Paradoxically, some people seek peace in work, through a round of continual activity. Others resort to meditation, to tranquilizers, to barbiturates, all in an effort to find peace. And it's as if all these people are saying with the psalmist in the Old Testament scriptures, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, that I might fly away and be at peace." And yet we each discover that escape is not the way to find peace. With that in mind, I want you to think about this text this morning. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are some tremendous things I want us to learn from this phrase about peace. And the first is that true peace is peace with God. True peace is peace with God. You see, if you're looking for peace, and every one of us here this morning is, then you've got to define what kind of peace you're looking for. There are many different kinds of peace. There's international peace, isn't there? Peace between nations and races and tribes of people, and how strongly we desire that in our day. There's industrial peace, peace between the government and workers and the bosses and the employees, and domestic peace, peace between husbands and wives and parents and children and brothers and sisters. And then internal peace, peace of heart and mind and conscience, freedom from tension, freedom from inner anxieties. Those are not the kinds of peace that this text is talking about. True peace is deeper than all these things. It is something more basic. It is peace with God. True peace is a relationship with God, characterized not by conflict, but by peace. A relationship in which we rejoice in the enjoyment of God's forgiveness. You see, the root cause of our restlessness as human beings is not physical or mental. It's not emotional, nor is it circumstantial. It's not the result of a job you're unhappy in, or a marriage that you're unhappy in, or some difficult next-door neighbor, or any of those things. The root of all human restlessness is moral and spiritual. It is conflict with God. There are people in this building this morning who have no peace because they're in conflict with God. And so long as you remain in that state, you will never find peace, or the peace you find will be of a very superficial nature. Because if behind and beyond everything that we see and hear and touch in the world, there is this ultimate, personal, living reality we call God. And if, as the Bible tells us, this God has made us in his own image and likeness that we might know him and love him and serve him, then we will never find ourselves until we find him. As human beings, we can never enjoy lasting peace so long as we are alienated from our Creator. And of course, that is obviously the case. It's foolish, isn't it, to think that we could ever enjoy peace if there's this fundamental disjunction at the very core of our being. The fundamental human tragedy is that ordinary people like you and me this morning, who are made in the image of God, like God and for God, are now trying to live our lives without God. That's the fundamental human tragedy. That's the explanation for the inner conflict and anguish and our sense of meaninglessness in life. Our lostness. If we don't know God, our Creator who made us in his own image to know him and love him and serve him, if we don't know God, then we are lost and we are aliens in his world. We are like vagrants with no fixed abode, squatters at best, displaced people, stateless, drifting. The Bible says of human beings in their sin and rebellion against God, the wicked, by which it means us, you and me, the wicked are like the tossing sea which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, my God says, for the wicked. That is, there's no peace for those who live in conflict with God. You see, on the one hand is our rebellion against God. Sin isn't the breaking of occasional commandments. I hope you don't think that it's just breaking the commandments. No, sin is our proud refusal to acknowledge our dependence upon God. That's what sin is. It is the self-centeredness that is seen in asserting our autonomy, that we can live without God. Sin is claiming to be autonomous. It's rebellion against God. So that's the one problem. But then on the other hand, there's the issue of God's judgment against that. What the Bible unashamedly calls the wrath of God. God's anger. God's anger isn't like your anger or my anger. Our anger so often is full of hurt, pride, self-pity. It's full of malice, venom. There's nothing like that in the anger of God. God's anger is a holy anger. It is God's implacable, settled antagonism towards evil. It is God's utter unwillingness to settle for it. He will not condone it. So you have these two components. There is our rebellion on the one hand, and there's God's judgment against it on the other. And these two are the fundamental cause of the conflict, the alienation that we experience and the loss of peace because of it. Now, it's only when you begin to see those two things, that that's the reality, that when that begins to stare you in the face, that you'll begin to appreciate the amazing possibility of peace with God. I want to ask you this morning, do you know that? Do you know peace with God? Peace with God is not just, you see, laying down the arms of our rebellion, though it includes that. It is more than that. Peace with God also means God being turned away from his own anger and receiving us and adopting us into his family as his beloved children. And there's no peace like the peace of God. Peace with God, you see, leads to the peace of God that the Bible says surpasses all human understanding. God, our judge, becomes our father, our creator, becomes our friend. It is the lifting up of our eyes to seek his face, and instead of that old frown of God's displeasure, you see the smile of God's acceptance and forgiveness. He lifts up the light of his countenance upon us, the scripture says, and gives us peace. True peace is peace with God. And it leads to peace with others across the barriers and the divides of race and rank and class and color and culture. But it all begins with peace with God. And it leads to inner peace and tranquility. Even in the midst of calamity, in the anguish of the world around us, there is inner sincerity and peace for the people of God. And it tells us that we're no longer prodigals, we're no longer aliens, but at last we've come home. It's foundational to our humanness. You cannot be truly human as you were intended to be originally if you don't have peace with your Creator. So that's the first thing, and it's so important. The true peace is peace with God. That's where it begins. But then this text tells us it is through Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, that is, as portrayed in the pages of of the Holy Scriptures. He's called the Prince of Peace. He's the greatest peacemaker that there is. At his birth, the angels, you remember, proclaimed the good news, peace on earth as a result of God's goodwill toward us. And at his death, we read, he made peace through the blood of his cross. The greatest purpose then of his death was to make peace between God and man, and then between human beings. Because on the cross, swallowed up in that blackness of God-forsakenness, Jesus Christ made himself one with us. He accepted in himself responsibility for our sin and our guilt. He stepped, as it were, into our shoes, and he bore in his own sinless person on the cross the condemnation that you and I deserve for our sins. And only he could do that, because he's a unique person. Only he is God, the eternal Son, who became a human being, and it is as the God-man that he bears our sin and guilt and judgment in his own body. Because he was condemned, you and I may be justified. Justification simply means that we are counted as righteous in the sight of God. And that's only possible because Jesus himself bore our sin and guilt on the cross. It's what was predicted of Jesus 700 years before he came into the world by the prophet Isaiah concerning Messiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The punishment that brings us peace was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Now the Christian, the man, the woman, who in great humility has been to the foot of the cross and has received a full and a free forgiveness for their sins, not because of anything that they've done, but because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, realizes the sheer mercy that there is in God. And that Christian will then never stray far from the cross. There are mysteries in the cross of Jesus that our minds can never fathom. Evidently, how is it possible for one person, Jesus, to possess two natures? To be God and at the same time to be man. How is that possible? How is it possible for God to have been in Christ when he made Christ sin for us? There are mysteries there that we can never fully understand or plumb. But the historical evidence is there in the words and the deeds of Jesus. It is this mystery of Jesus that the church has always believed and proclaimed. Peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want peace with God today, it is to Jesus Christ you must come. It's no good at all, you see, just coming to church. The church can't give you peace. And it's no good coming to Christian preachers because Christian preachers can't give you peace either. It's your sin, you see, is a little bit like the rubbish bin at home. You can try to deal with your rubbish through religious exercise. You can sit and look at your bin and decide to pray. I'm going to pray it away, you say. And you pray until you sweat. And there it sits, because praying won't shift it. And praying won't shift your sins either. Or you might try and worship. And perhaps you will think you'll get rid of it by singing hymns or songs. And so you sing until you're hoarse. And there it sits. Because singing doesn't deal with it, and singing won't deal with your sin. Or you might try to wish your bin away, like a New Ager, wishing the rubbish away. But there it sits. And it'll sit there until someone comes and carries it away. And the prophet John the Baptist in the scripture one day looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and pointed to him and said, "Behold, behold the Lamb of God, who carries away the sins of the world." That's the only way sin can be removed. Jesus carries it away, removes it by his death on the cross, where he pays the penalty due for it. You have to come to Jesus Christ, who has made peace through the blood of his cross. It's only there that you find peace with God. And that's why the church has this great responsibility, you see. To make Christ known, to proclaim the good news of peace. And in doing so, we're not like the false prophets who say peace, peace, when there is no peace, and who don't really treat the rebellion of Israel or the judgment of God seriously. No, we proclaim peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ as the only mediator between God and men, and the cross as the only foundation upon which a holy God can accept unholy, ungodly men and women without compromising his righteousness or without condoning their sin. So the first thing is peace with God. And the second thing is peace comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the third thing I want you to notice from this text is that peace with the Lord Jesus Christ is something that we may have and that we may have now. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing statement that is. Would that everyone here this morning would be able to say that in the depths of their being. Paul is describing the consequence of justification. Having been justified by faith, he says, having been declared righteous before God through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. It is the consequence. In theological language, we would say that justification includes reconciliation. In plain English, we would say God, because he has accepted us, is now our friend. And I want to say this is not a feeling, it's a fact. We're told here, being justified by faith, not we feel that we are at peace with God. It doesn't say that. It says we have peace with God. It's not a feeling, but a fact. So peace with God isn't a state of religious euphoria. If it were that, it would be very precarious, wouldn't it? Because our emotions rise and fall like the tide. But peace with God isn't a feeling, it's a relationship, a stable relationship that God himself establishes through Jesus Christ. And our feelings, fluctuating as they are, will not alter this relationship that God establishes. Peace with God is an objective fact based upon an objective event, the death of Jesus Christ. And if your feet stand firmly upon these great objective facts by faith, you'll be rescued from the shifting sand of subjectivity. Once we were rebels, but God loves us, and Christ died for us, and we've been washed and sanctified and justified through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Those things are not feelings, those things are facts. And this is not a promise, but this is a possession. In other words, it's not something in the future. It's not something that you'll know one day, but it is a privileged possession for God's people now because of the cross. When we talk about God's peace, you see, well, a lot of the time people think that you're talking about heaven. When a believer dies, we say he or she is at peace. And for a Christian, of course, that is true. They are at peace. Heaven is the perfection of peace. Peace with God, peace with one another, peace within ourselves. But that's not what this text is talking about. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not a peace you're going to have one day in the future, but peace now. The life of the Christian on earth is an anticipation of the peace that we'll know in heaven. Peace, the blessing of heaven today, now in our experience. And therefore, the Christian need not fear death or judgment, but have a confident expectation of the perfection of peace that they already enjoy with God through Jesus Christ. True peace is with God through Jesus, and it's a present possession. And I want to call you today, if you have no peace, to come to Jesus Christ, to learn this text by heart, and to believe it and to remember it every day. Because there'll be days when your conscience will be troubled about things. And it will condemn you. And you'll say in reply, I know that is true. But having been justified by faith, I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Lord bless his word to us this morning.